up, my friends? So this is episode number 30, actually, of this podcast. I started it in the beginning of quarantine, and the intention was to start it because of watching A Story of God with Morgan Freeman. I, like, little background of me and my life with my understanding of God. I went to Catholic school, kindergarten to eighth grade, and I learned a lot, and I'm very thankful for that experience. However, when I went into high school in my young 20s, there's a large chunk of my life that I was just extremely atheist and living a rather sinful life in every way, against myself. I was hurting myself the most out of anybody, and I have since come to understand Jesus Christ as King and Jesus Christ as God, and I am so grateful to have relearned as an adult the story of Jesus. And really, in this quarantine, that has been what I've been putting a lot of my focus and attention on, next to the Black Lives Matter movement, of course. And I do want to address that, because that is the most pertinent thing happening in the world, is this fight for racial equality. And I can only speak on my experience of being a white female. I'm 27 years old, a white female, and I have no experience of the Black experience, zero. I can never have any of it, and I will never, because the more that I learn, the more that I unlearn and relearn and take in information from Black brilliance, the more that I am seeing just how much I cannot understand, and just how much there are many different perspectives, but how divided a white and a Black perspective is pretty wide. So I know that I can't understand. So I say that to say I'm not speaking on behalf of the Black people right now. I can only talk about being a white person right now. And all I want to say is I had to go through my own process of emotions, and I was feeling very overwhelmed. I was feeling very anxious, angry, upset. I was reacting very big to the situation with George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, when there has been countless murders of Black individuals that I have not reacted to in this way. So it's like I was showing up to a show and a game that was like, has been going on for a long time. And that in itself is arrogance. Like, learning about your ignorance is a very interesting journey. So I've learned about appropriating the Black experience more than anything else in the last couple weeks. And I want to say this, and it comes from my heart of just caring about people. I know where it comes from. So white people that are just like, I have a few that I know on Facebook and stuff that are just ranting and raving and writing these long statuses or sharing this information. And it comes from this space of like really appropriating the Black experience and Black pain, and it's just not what needs to happen. They're not purposeful feelings. They don't serve a good purpose. You're just appropriating pain that you don't know and will never know. But it comes from like a good place, because it's a natural human reaction to be very upset about the senseless murder of an innocent person. But what I think white people need to do, and I'm keeping this part short again, not because I don't want to highlight Black brilliance, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking about white people right now. What you need to do as a white person is to zip through those big feelings rather quickly and get your ego in check and make sure you understand this is not about you in any way. And in the same breath, it is about you in every way. But in the biggest breath, it has nothing to do with you. And what I mean by that, what I think is nice, is this podcast is called In the Backseat, and what a good little universal coincidence. I think that's exactly where white people need to find themselves right now in the fight for racial justice. You have to be very clear on the fact that Black people are driving, Black people are in the front, they are in charge of where this is going. It's not your job to feel or be next to them. It's definitely not your job to be in front of them. It's not your job to poke your head into they're driving and backseat drive. It's not your job. And if there's one thing that I've been blessed enough to know, is that I have zero doubts in the community of Black Americans and the strength of Black Americans and the pride of self in Black Americans. Like, I'm not worried about Black people right now. And it's because I'm very fortunate enough to be somebody, and I say this, and people who are listening who have lived in the cities or have been not that only black people live in the cities, but have been exposed to actual culture, of any culture, of different culture, and not living in a really small bubble. I'm not judging people that live in a bubble. And I'm not judging people that, I'm not judging at all. But what I'm saying is, I'm just highlighting that I've been fortunate enough to experience black people in a really cool way, to be blessed with black brilliance, like not myself, to be blessed with the experience of black brilliance. It's like such a white thing to say I have black friends. And I'm not saying that to defend then something shitty that I'm going to say. That's not like a thing you get to do. I've just been fortunate to know that black people are sick and awesome. And like, if you haven't, you're really just missing out. So what's exciting is what you get to do, white people, is zip through those emotions of appropriating the experience and find yourself in the back seat of this car of the fight for racial justice. You just have to be damn sure that you are in the car. You can't be on the sideline. And what being in the car means is contributing in the ways you can contribute and continuing to practice being an ever-learning spirit and to stand up and stand up for what you know is right. If you are around somebody who's making comments or anything like that, it's time to open your throat chakra and speak up and let that person know. And it doesn't need to be from an angered place. It needs to be from a very wise, matter-of-fact place, because this is something that is true. It sits in your moral compass to know that racism is wrong. So stand up when, even, I don't care if it's your uncle and he's 60 years old, he doesn't get a pass because he's 60. It's like, this is a new world and you can talk to him about that and open people's eyes. And the way you do that is by staying and remaining calm and not reacting in a highly emotionally angry way, unless you just want to get into a fight. So mastering how to like talk to people and open people's eyes, I think, is really important here. And doing it with compassion. Because if you can extend empathy to somebody who lives in that racist space, you can extend empathy in the way that you can be like, wow, it must be very hard to live as that individual. It must be really tough to live in such a puppeteered falseness, and extend that first in your mind. And then I think it helps you to be able to speak to people in a way that is like, no, this is the reality of the situation, and stand up for what's right. Staying educated is major, major key, as we know, and do that in the ways that works for you, whether you're taking in podcasts or documentaries. If you haven't watched 13th on Netflix, I think that's a good place to start. If you're somebody who, and I'm not saying this with judgment, but if you're somebody who has been living in just your ignorance, and ignorance makes people feel weird, like you're being a bad person. But if you have decided to turn your eye or hide the stories or hide those friends on Facebook who are still sharing this information, you are deciding to live in ignorance because you can. And I don't know where you live on the line of faith, but that's what this podcast is about. I don't know where you live on the line of your understanding of God, but that's what this podcast is really about. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, when you have a relationship with God, and when you have a life of faith, you understand, not just understand the concept that everyone is God's child, but you really fully get it, I think, much more, that is the sole point of what we're doing here. And it doesn't, the show, the puppeteer show that is happening, and I heard the word politics the other day, and that's so true on both sides. But the puppeteering that goes on is there to make you, you know, either very uncomfortable or very comfortable with the thing that's going on in your life. And you shouldn't be comfortable with anything beyond equality and love for all and the fact that we are all God's children. And it's not enough to, it's very hard. I don't want to touch politics because I don't necessarily believe in them. Like, I obviously know that's the system at play here, and it's important to stay educated and vote in a way that is the best way that you can vote. But it feels like a really awful system. And it always has for me. I've come from the generation of being in third grade when 9/11 happened. So most of our lives was spent, I didn't grow up thinking the world of politics. I just didn't. And especially the kids today growing up, why would they? So it's important, stay educated, vote, continue to read and learn and unlearn and get comfortable with the fact that you don't know everything, and that's okay, and that you're going to stumble. I'm stumbling. I'm not coming from a place of knowing what I'm doing. I'm stumbling through learning and unlearning. When George Floyd was murdered, I reacted so big, and it was only through taking in really amazing Black people's perspectives where I was like, wait, that's what I'm doing. I'm appropriating this, and that's not useful. What is useful is saying, okay, where do you want me? Where do I need to go? Where do I need to stand? Peaceful protests that are still going on. Your algorithms won't tell you that they're still going on, but they're still happening. So it's important that you seek out what's going on in the world in order to be a part of it. Also, there was one point at the bottom of this one article that I think was really awesome, and it was about taking care of yourself. Like, if you're not that's one thing, and you can't generalize, but something that Black people do so well is self-care and self-love. And I mean, levels above, you can't blanket statement, but I'm gonna, levels above white people. Just the self-care aspect of an individual, I've learned a lot from Black people in that realm. But at the one end of this article is about being a white ally, was like, take care of you. If you're not taking care of you, you definitely can't take care of anybody else. So I read that and I was like, wow, I've been so anxious, and I've been making this all about me. I've been making this all about my ego, my world, my emotions, my feelings, and it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. Nothing. It never will. It can never, because I am a white female. So in the same breath, people are going to say, like, in the same breath, I understand it has everything to do with me. It has everything to do with me showing up and being in this car in the fight for racial justice. And I don't care if the entire world was burning, I would be there. I'd be behind my friends, behind this entire race for the fight for racial justice. Because the systemic racism is so deeply seated. And that's why, if you're choosing ignorance, the best place for you to start is 13th on Netflix. I'm going to say it again. If you've avoided watching it because you don't want to feel the emotions that come along with learning something, get over yourself. Again, this is not about you. It has nothing to do with you. So watch 13th. It's very, very, very eye-opening. Hugely eye-opening. And then from there, like, I have my dear girlfriend, Mandy. I love you. And she asked me if I wanted to read a book along with her and some of her friends. It's called White Fragility. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail still. So we're doing like a mini little book club, which is amazing. And I'm really excited and grateful that she's having me join them so that we can talk through this book and the experience and learn and just continue to learn. I'm forever going to be in a learning state. If you think you know everything, get over yourself. You don't. You don't know everything, and the world that you live in is not the world. There's so much more that goes on. Racism is real, and that's just a fact. It's not like your little bubble of the world is not the entire world. So learn and be okay with learning. So yeah, watch 13th. And then God goes into everything. God is so needed right now, and faith is so needed right now, I think, in the white community more than the Black community. But I don't know the Black experience, but I know that I have had some eye-opening content come into my life in the last couple weeks about God and about the gospel and about America. And you should, after you're done 13th, on watching things about God, you need to watch American Gospel on Netflix. It is very eye-opening into the prosperity gospels, prosperity preaching. That is not the truth of the gospels. Like, I think that anything you take in, no matter what it is, you should be the judge of what you're taking in. I don't think that you should trust other people to relay the message that is meant to be taken in. I think you should take it in yourself. So if you've never read the Bible, and the Bible's tough for you to read, I have some content that I really want you to watch. If you want to meet and learn the story of Jesus as an adult, I think it's the greatest story literally ever told. And there's this app that you can download. Well, first of all, this is the order of things I think you should do. I think you should download the app called The Chosen. If you've heard of it, great. If you haven't, download it and watch, binge through those 8 episodes. You'll get to meet the disciples and Jesus and Mary Magdalene in a really cool, bingeable way. It's a really well done series. It's like a short series, I guess. It's like 50, but they are 50 minutes-ish every episode, but they're so good. And I'm in love. On episode 8 at the end, I was hysterical. My heart was like beating out of my chest. And I was just sobbing at this one story of the Samaritan woman. And I am such a fan, and I've been telling people about it since. So download The Chosen and binge through those 8 episodes. Then watch American Gospel on Netflix, because it's important to learn, I think, some stories before going in and watching what people are doing with the prosperity preaching, because that's not what I feel passionate about. And I think in a past episode, I talked to Manny and I was kind of sharing, like, I feel a resistance to certain types of churches and certain types of things that I see online. And I think I'm learning more so what specific things align with me and what doesn't. And it's from my own gathering of information, from reading and learning on my own the Bible, and really not even reading the Bible, but watching the Gospels. So you download Chosen, you binge through Chosen, then you can watch American Gospel on Netflix. And then, or these two end parts can flip-flop, American Gospel or watch the Gospels on Netflix. You can just search the Gospels, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will come up. And it's such a great way to take in the Bible. It's a guy speaking and there's visuals in the background. I'll play it almost like a podcast. I'll play it because every episode or every, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think they're around three hours each. But it's straight up the Bible read to you and shown. And it's really, really, really great to watch because, listen, Jesus was the coolest guy to ever walk this earth, the most loving, most amazing guy to ever walk this earth. He didn't have any insecurities or weird things in front of what he did. He was authentic as anything. He was just the sickest person ever. And Jesus was real, and Jesus was king and is king. That is in my faith and my understanding. And Jesus is like, there's no greater story ever told, and there's no greater commitment to be like it's like this concept of like reaching and being like Jesus as much as possible. And I'm only going to spoil one thing, but his command to us and his command before death was to love each other, literally. And I think that unfortunately people hold conditions above that in weird ways, or try to justify things in weird ways to make it okay that we're not loving of each other, but that's not a thing. That literally doesn't work. But the only thing you can do is learn and understand. And I wanted to share this because I do know that I have people on my Facebook and social media that come from a life of faith. And I think, you know what? There's no better person to make up your own mind than yourself. So take this information in, watch all of the Gospels, binge them and love them. They're all so similar and you hear so many different stories, but then like Luke and John are really, really, they dive in differently and further. And I just, if you understand the Gospels and you've read the Bible fully and like, you know that, hit me up, please message me and like share with me cool things that you've learned, because I'm new to this for sure. I'm new to it in this way where I have been the person to take this information in. I went to Catholic school again from kindergarten to 8th grade, but that was a very different experience for me. That was about snippets of information and then people speaking about that information. And I learned a lot of great stuff. I think the best thing that I ever learned was the golden rule, which is treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. But I think that a lot of people it's not as human. It's not as, very human. as Jesus is and meeting Jesus and under and having a relationship with Jesus. There was that video that went viral a while ago about like there's a difference between being religious and knowing Jesus, and that's this is like totally different and so great, and I will talk about it until my world ends. What else can I say? What else do I want to say? I've always feel like I've re-recorded this podcast probably 20 times. I've wanted to podcast for a good couple weeks, but I was like, I don't know what to say. My words are going to be very hollow right now. They're going to fall very short on this whole situation. And I still feel as though that they do, but I do feel called to at least share this information about the Gospels and about the Chosen, and about things like 13th for you. If you haven't watched and learned about history, 13th will start a snowball in you, I believe, of learning. And it's painful to learn what went on, but it's important to learn so that we don't have people defending people that were awful. Learn about what Christopher Columbus really did. He never even came to America. He slaughtered individuals for no reason, and he thought the world was shaped like a pear with a nipple on top of it. I literally just learned that from Adam Ruins Everything. But people have these ideas and these concepts, and they're so defensive of things. And you can hold on to your pride of your family and the hard work of your family and the hard work of your immigrant family, and understand that there was a lot else of bad shit going on that, no, you weren't responsible for, but yes, you need to understand and fully get through your bones and be a part of the change. Like, be a part of the change you wish to see in the world. Stop holding on to these past things that don't even, they don't, it's like 1 + 1 = 5. It's like things that don't even match up, people are defending because of concepts that were pushed into their head for a reason. And 13th is a really good way to start unlearning things that you didn't know. People don't even know that Black Wall Street existed. And I didn't know that Black Wall Street existed either, but I think surprised that older generations didn't know about Black Wall Street because it seems pretty damn major. But we weren't taught real Black history. And that's robbing us of learning about Black people. It's totally robbed white people of learning about Black people. And as much as I take in, I feel like there's so much more to learn, and there will always be so much more to learn. So I'm learning to get comfortable again, being in that ever learning spirit place, and just saying and knowing, like, forever and a day I'll be behind Black Americans. But again, to go back to that car thing, that car reference, you got to find yourself white person in the back seat here. That's the only purposeful place for your activism, is behind Black Americans. They are driving and they got this. It's like, you get your ass in the back and don't poke your head up front, but be in the car and look to Black leaders, Black thinkers, and find the content that you need to take in, find the things you get to unlearn about yourself or your own experience, and find it, you know, every way that you can learn about the Black experience while not appropriating the experience, because it's not purposeful. So with that, this podcast is going to come to a close, because I like to keep these things short. Of course, I could go on, and I feel like this sense that I need to go on much longer and talk about what's going on. But I also want to say, this is the last thing I want to say, and then we're wrapping it up. If you are somebody who finds yourself judging how other people are going about their activism to the point of condemning other people, it's just, I see so much, there's so many layers of what's going on online. That is also not useful. It's something, but it's not useful. There's this really, really great thing that happens when you extend empathy. So even if you're extending empathy to someone who you have no idea how they're coming from, where they're coming from, say you need to extend empathy and say, you know what, it must be really difficult to live in that much fear, or it must be really hard to live in that much ignorance. And it must be a very tough life. If you have to prep yourself and say that first before you address a person, and this goes for anyone on any side of any argument. Oh, let's talk about police first, and then we're done. Here's the thing. If you are somebody, we understand that police lives matter. We understand that every life matters. Every life holds value. Every life holds so much value. It's a precious gift from God, every single life. And that's the point of Black Lives Matter. It's a statement. It's not an argument. And that's what it is. It doesn't need a rebuttal from people. It doesn't need people to react out of insecurity and ignorance. That's just like not the point of it. And for anyone to blanket statement anything about police, you can't. Just like you can't with any group of people. There are good cops. There are great cops. There are amazing cops who, yes, put their lives on the line to keep people safe and who love people and who want to protect communities and be great cops. But there are also really awful policemen. And there are a huge amount of undertrained policemen policing in fear. And that's very apparent with how many people get killed, white and black. Why are other countries training policemen for years and having very few deaths by police? Why do we not train our policemen better? It is perfectly okay to support the police and demand much, much better from them and much better for them. If they are doing things that they should not be doing, things get to change and reform gets to happen, and that's okay. There's a lot of pride that goes on, and of course, cops' lives matter. But to blanket statement something that is so false, that guy that killed George Floyd, he's a murderer and he deserves to go to jail for the rest of his life. He is a sick individual who was on a power trip and felt okay to do what he did because he believed he would get away with it. He got to go home and have dinner with his families after he murdered a man whose life was just as precious as his own. And if you agree with that and you agree with that guy being awful, then you agree with the fact that there needs to be reform in policing, because there's many other cases just like that on black people, on white people, on people of all different backgrounds. So police reform gets to happen, and it gets to happen from a really great place. You can love your police and demand better and demand reform. So make sure you're in the car for the fight for justice, because you're an American and you believe in justice and freedom for all. And have a God-blessed day. Love your family, love your friends, and treat others the way you want to be treated, like Jesus said. All right, guys.